It is today the beginning of the Advent, and we'll be lighting four candles on the four Sundays preceding Christmas, celebration of Jesus' first coming. We light the prophet's candle, the angel's candle, shepherd's candle, and the magi candle. But today we light the prophet's candle, and I want to read this scripture as we tell the story of Jesus' first coming, of His incarnation. In Isaiah chapter 9 it says, "But there will no more be gloom for her who was in anguish in earlier times. He treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, He shall make it glorious by the way of the sea on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them, and you'll multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence as with the gladness of the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, as it was in the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult and cloak rolled in blood will be for burning, fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of his peace. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and hold it with justice and righteousness, and from then on and evermore, and the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish it." That prophecy was fulfilled in Jesus, as were hundreds of other prophecies. We're going to talk about some of those today. Today, we light the first candle as we begin the celebration of the incarnation, God becoming flesh and dwelling among us. Jesus Christos, Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Lord. We bless His name today. Lord, thank You. Thank You for Your presence and for Your power. Thank You for this celebration. Lord, we are exhilarated by Your presence here this morning. As You glory in heaven, as the angels of heaven glory, as we proclaim the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. We lift up His name. Thank You for those prophecies, clear and plain. Now, Lord, speak through us and speak to us today as we worship You in spirit and in truth. This Advent season, this Christmas season, is different. We've never had one like it in our lifetimes because of all the things that are in there. Tell the president I'll get back to him later. So I hope you will take the opportunity that is before you. You need to seize the opportunity and be intentional about sharing Jesus with people around you. And if that for you translates into, why don't you come to my church's live nativity scene? What are they going to do there? Well, you can come stand around and eat hot dogs the whole time and look at children, pet animals, because, you know, we tried originally to keep the children out of the crash and away from the animals, but you can't do that. So it is just a completely interactive time. If it's something as simple as that, but we have an opportunity, and we've got to seize it now.
with the people that are in our lives. Because there are people who are struggling right now, who are having tough times. People have lost their jobs. People that are discouraged. People that have no hope. They have an exterior that they put on, a pretend, a facade. But on the inside, they're dying by inches, and they need the hope of Jesus, which is the hope of Christmas. That's what it's all about. It's about the advent, God becoming flesh, and we celebrate that. Who knows? You invite them, they just may be impacted. They may be one of those atheists that I talked about. But this is your time. The prophet's candle. How many prophecies are there about Jesus and His first coming in the Old Testament? I don't know. One author says there's at least 425 specific ones about Jesus coming the first time. What is prophecy? Well, it's a thus saith the Lord. It's God speaking. And since God is outside of time, He can speak something today, and He may be speaking about something that's going to happen in 2,000 years. He's God. He gets to do that. Let me give you a few of these prophecies and some of these scriptures. I'm going to go quickly, so you'll probably just need to listen to the recording later or jot down these scriptures now, but you can get them off the recording later. You can get that on the net at our website. Here are just a few. Do you know that the Bible said that the Messiah would come and would be born as a human male in Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7? I read it to you earlier. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulders. That spoken 700 B.C., that fulfilled with the coming of Jesus the first time. The Bible also says that He will be born of a virgin. Prophet spoke of that. Isaiah says that in chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. He is God with us. And if ever there needed to be a time in our history, history of our nation, where we needed God to come and be with us, it's right now. Right now, at this time, at this place, at this juncture in history. Was that fulfilled? Was Jesus born of a virgin? You got to believe it. Let me tell you, if they could have disproved that He was born of a virgin, they would have done it back then, just like the resurrection. If they could have disproved at that time, because they knew the Scriptures, they knew the Scriptures, they knew the Hebrew Scriptures, that it said He would be born, the Messiah would be born of a virgin. If they could have disproved it, they would have done it at the time. You know what? There's a deafening silence when it comes to that. They couldn't disprove it because Mary had never known a man. The Holy Spirit came upon her and she conceived and she bare a child, and His name was Emmanuel, Jesus. The Scripture also says, and this was spoken in 700 B.C., in Isaiah 37, verse 31, that He would come from the house of Judah, Messiah would come. Listen to what it says. Once more, a remnant of the house of Judah will take root below and bear fruit above. He would take root below, where's that? Here. And bear fruit above. Look at the fruit that has come because of Jesus. That Scripture fulfilled. He would be a part of the root and the stump of Jesse, the father
of David. Isaiah 11:10, it says, "In that day the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious." Fulfilled in Jesus. Spoken centuries before the coming of Jesus. The scripture says that he would be born of the house of David. Again from Isaiah 16 verse 5. "In love a throne will be established. In faithfulness a man will sit on it. One from the house of David. One who is judging, seeks justice, and speeds the cause of righteousness." Yes, sir. That was fulfilled in him. And the rest of that's going to be fulfilled when he comes the second time. Centuries before. The scripture even says where he would be born. It pinpoints where the Messiah would be born. Look at what it says in Micah chapter 5 verse 2. "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old and from ancient times." What did Herod do when the Magi came to him seeking to find where this king, this one who was born king of the Jews, would be born? Where did they go and look for where Messiah would be born? Where'd they go? They went through the scripture and they identified the place. That's how they found out it was Bethlehem. Even pagan, ungodly Herod knew that. Even him. Fulfilled. Born in Bethlehem. And it says that the scripture also says that he would be from Nazareth of Galilee. Isaiah verse 9, 1 and 2, we read it earlier. "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past he humbled the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, but in the future he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles, by way of the sea along the Jordan, the people walking in darkness who've seen a great light on those living in the land of the shadow of that was dawn." He would come from Nazareth. The scripture speaks that he would be, and seeing that, we see the fulfillment. And they've always spoken of this like it was a contradiction, because the scripture talks about he would be born in Bethlehem. He'd be called a Nazarene, but yet he would come up out of Egypt. How could that be true? Because the Bible must be contradicting itself, because it speaks of three places where he'd be from. Well, yes, he did grow up in Nazareth, but he was born in Bethlehem. And the scripture I'm about to read you said he would come up out of Egypt. Hosea 11:1, "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." That was written in 725 B.C. Well, what would happen? The angel would come and warn Joseph in a dream after the visit of the Magi, and he went down to Egypt and stayed there until Herod died and came back. And there Jesus grew up in Nazareth. The scripture also speaks of the slaying of the innocent. I won't read that. The slaying of the boys. All those male children, 2 years and younger, there in Bethlehem and around. In Isaiah 29, verse 18, it says that his ministry would include miraculous healing. Hear what it says. "In that day the deaf will hear the words of the scroll, and out of gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind will see." That was written in the 700s B.C. What would Jesus do? Did any blind people start seeing? Did any deaf people start hearing when he came? You see it? I mean, we say, well, you know, that might have been true. But line all these things up together and run a line through all of those holes and pull it together. And what have you got? You've got one theme. Jesus. Jesus. The scripture says that his ministry would deliver spiritual captives Isaiah 61 verses 1 and 2 says this, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor." You remember when Jesus came back home to Nazareth and he stood up and read the scroll? He read, this is what he read that day as he was announced. That's why, and he was proclaimed that he was the one who fulfilled that. Hey, that's why they were so angry with him. Not because they didn't understand what he was saying, because they understood exactly what he was saying, that he was the fulfillment of this. Hear what it says. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom for the captives, release from darkness of prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who will mourn." And see, in that, he sums up. Now, that day when he read that, he stopped before he got to the judgment part, because that's his second coming. Because he's going to come in judgment. Judgment's going to come. He came in deliverance first time. And we see, were captives delivered when Jesus came? Have we seen that over the centuries? Have we seen people try to stomp that out and say, oh no, the power of God is not working? And just as soon as you stomp it out over here and you draw the broom back that you've tried to stomp it out here and you draw it back, what happens to the fire of God? You just spread it to another place. You can't stop out the work of God. Can't do it. In Psalm 118:22, it says he would be rejected by the rulers. 118, verse 22. "The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, the chief cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in his eyes." Hundreds of years before the coming of Jesus, and yet there he is standing. The chief cornerstone. The cornerstone of our salvation. The linchpin, if you would, to everything for us, for our relationship with God. Scripture even spoke about some things personal. Psalm 69, verse 8. Says he would even be rejected by his own brothers, his own flesh. He's half brothers. It says there, Psalm 69, verse 8, "I'm a stranger to my brothers, an alien to my own mother's sons." Did that take place? Yes, sir. We'll see. It'll be a long time before James then, you know, who would eventually become the pastor, the chief elder of the church there at Jerusalem, Jesus' half-brother, who would come around and embrace him as the Messiah. You know, Scripture even says that he would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. That's right. Even his ransom price is foretold. In Zechariah verse 12 of chapter 11, it says this, "If you think it best, give me my pay, but if not, keep it. So they paid me 30 pieces of silver." The details are there. There are other things about that silver would be returned, and it would be used to buy a field. Scripture even foretold that his disciples would scatter. In Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, it says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is close to me, declares the Lord Almighty. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered, and I'll turn my hand against the little ones." What happened to the disciples when the shepherd was struck? Do you see it? I just read you a few. All I did was read the Bible to you. I read the Bible to you. It's amazing when you get man's opinions out of it and you just read the Bible. What does it say? It speaks it clearly. It speaks it plainly. The Messiah was coming. And we proclaim today, he did come. He fulfilled it. So why is this prophecy fulfillment? This thing about fulfilled prophecy. Why is that important to us? Number one, because it's happening right here in our day. Do you know that? You're living in a time where the things spoken of in this book are coming true every day. Every meeting that those folks have over there in the Middle East, thinking that they have things under control, that it's in their power. It's a fulfillment of God's Word. The biggest But the biggest thing that I can point to in my lifetime, excuse me, a little before my lifetime, but I've seen it fulfilled, is what happened after World War II when Israel became a state. Not many history buffs here. We got a few of y'all that they're knowledgeable of this. But you don't know how many hundreds of years that they let out all the stops to keep the Jews from getting their land back. I mean, those people over there in the Gaza Strip and all, you know who's there. That's the people that have been deported from the other countries that are around, the rabble rouse that they've just put in those areas. That's who came to be there. Now, yes, they need a place. All that. I agree with all that. But it's not their place. It's not their place. It belongs to the people of God. It's their place. And by the way, just not get politics or anything in this over in that land. But those people are a whole lot better taken care of by the Israelis than they ever would be by the countries around them. If they're so concerned about those people, where's all the aid coming in to those people? But you know what? Iran will send rockets in there. But they won't send one little lunch bucket of 5 loaves and 2 fish in there to feed anybody. And the Israelis have been doing that. Just to point out some of the facts to you. It don't get reported in the news. So why is prophecy fulfillment so important? Oh man, we see Israel's become a state. There's a miracle. Never could have happened. It had to be lined up perfectly for that to happen. There had to be, in the world scene of government, there had to be some people missing from the table the day that was decided. And some others to be there that day for it to happen. Only way it could have happened. You need to read the story sometime. And not like I studied history. I have a Bachelor of Arts degree in history. And you know what? I never heard a single professor that I ever had who stood up before me give me any information about Israel. And yet history revolves around Israel. When you read the facts. Why is this prophecy so important? Because the players in the Bible are lining up. You read these scriptures that talk about Egypt, and they talk about Syria, and they talk about these folks up to the north, these Russians even. You see, they're all important. When we light this candle here today, we're not lighting something that's celebrating something that's long gone that has nothing to do with today. We're lighting a candle saying, Lord, we know you spoke in the past and you're speaking right now. It's prophecy. It's God speaking. You see, all of history revolves around what is happening there because God chose that land. Now, why did He choose that land? I don't know. He's God. He gets to do whatever he wants to. That's his land where his people are going to live. It doesn't matter what they decide in the UN. I mean, this week they make another decision about the Palestinians. You know, I love Bibi Netanyahu. You know, he said, don't worry about any of that stuff. You know, don't sweat it. We know who's there. And we see that world events are being shaped by this unseen hand. I say unseen because it's unseen by the world. But we see it plainly, don't we? What Belteshazzar see there? Daniel? He saw the handwriting on the wall. We can see it. So how does God want us to respond to all this? By the way, do you understand me so far? This isn't too complicated, is it? It's the prophet's candle. And it's still burning. So how does God want us to respond? First of all, I believe He wants us to make our salvation sure. I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. You familiar with that? Do you know that you know that you know that you know Jesus? Do you know Him experientially? I'm not talking about knowing Him in your head. I'm not talking about intellectual assent. I'm talking about knowing Him in your heart. Have you received Him? What have you done with this Jesus? Have you received Him? See, none of this makes any sense. This whole Christmas thing, all this, Emmanuel, joy to the world, O little town of Bethlehem, angels we have heard on high, all that. None of that makes any sense. That's just a bunch of fairy tales. That's a bunch of, put that in the classification of every other fairy tale that's ever been. If you don't have Jesus. But man, when you throw Jesus into it, when He's really in your life, then every one of those Christmas carols starts to make sense. This book starts to make sense. I'm still putting it together myself. I had it read to me as a child, before I could ever read, and I was memorizing it. Had my dad and my mom like to tell the story. One of the friends that came by, I was probably about 3 years old, and he'd come by the house, and he was convinced I could read. I'd get the book out, and I knew when to turn the pages because I'd had them read to me so many times. He went out telling people, that kid can read, he's 3 years old, he can read. But it's still being revealed. It's still being put together. It's exciting. It's alive, is what I'm saying. This isn't a dead book. Make your salvation sure. Make your salvation sure. Do you know Him? I'm not talking about have you adopted a religion? Have you signed on the dotted line? I'm not talking about any of our corporate model, a church, any of that garbage. I'm talking about Jesus, the Son of God. Is He in your life? How's God wants to respond? Number two, He wants us to live like we know Him. That means what I described to you earlier. I went through all that song and dance about everything that we're doing this month and all. We're not doing that for our health. We're not doing that because we want to make a show. We're doing that because this message has got to get out. We've got to participate in it. We've got to hook the people around us. We've got to leverage our influence with them so they can see Jesus. Do you have a plan for the people in your life? Do you love them enough to tell them the good news? Or are you going to sit by and watch them go to hell? Woo, you said hell, preacher. You talked about people going there. That's the reality of what happens without Jesus. You can't have good news until you understand the bad news. The good news. He saves. And He saves everybody. They'll come to Him in faith and trust. We got to start living like we know Him. That means our lives have got to be different. Has your life just become lazy and you've just melded in to the people? I'm not talking about coming to work with the family Bible about 10 times the size of this and, you know, holding it like this and getting the preacher tone and all that and suddenly you're speaking in these and thous and perfect, you know, King James English or iambic pentameter or whatever you want to speak in, whatever that makes you seem religious, whatever. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being real. Do you think people can spot a phony today? A mile away. They need the real you sharing the real Jesus. How's God wants to respond? Well, third, He wants us to read this book, believe what it says, and expect Him to come. We light this candle in expectation. We live sandwiched between the two comings of Jesus. Come, thou long expected Jesus. Heard it a while ago. He came, and He's coming back the second time. How's God want you to respond? Number four, He wants you to be a prophet. What? Prophet. How's that title sound? Prophet Carol Schofield. A prophet. Prophet Barbara Strickland goes by Bobby. Prophet speaking. When we speak out, we're speaking the Word of God. We're being prophetic. We're being a prophet in that way. He wants you to be a prophet. Somebody reading the news and saying, man, look at that, what's going on in the Middle East. Hey, you know what that is? I call that's an invitation. Saying, yeah, and you know what that's all about? That's God's land, and Jesus is coming back. In fact, He's going to come back on that very place. That's where His second coming is going to be. How do you know that? Well, it's what the book says. How can you believe that? Because everything else He's ever said has come true. Well, what are you talking about? Oh, let me show you. You see that? Time to be a prophet. You can speak. When you speak in the Word of God, you're being a prophet. And finally, how does God want you to respond? He wants you and me to start praying. Now get this. Like He will speak things into existence. My lips to His ear, and He speaks it. Not because of my power, that prayer doesn't work. Hear me today. Prayer doesn't work. Jesus does. It's not some special incantation. Let me stand on one foot, touch my head, and wiggle the fingers on my left hand. And now if I can pray long enough like this, oh, He's got to hear me. Or I like this cutting oneself, you know, that certain groups have done. Oh, I can suffer enough in that way. No. It's speaking to God. Pray with an expectation. Pray just like He can speak things into existence. Because He can. And He does. How did He make this world?
He spoke it into existence. That's why we need to hear His voice. Be listening what He says. How are you praying in these days? The people around you? Got any people at your work that are dying by inches right now? Got anybody that's having big time problems right now? Friends having problems right now? Leaking oil bad? Anybody like that in your life? You know? Well, if you don't know anybody like that, you're living under a rock somewhere. It's time to get out from under the rock and look at the people around you and see and to ask God to let you see with His eyes around you. Come thou, long expected Jesus. For unto us a child shall be born, unto us a son shall be given, and the government shall be upon His shoulders. We shall call His name Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He came. Oh, I'm so glad Gary included that song today. He's alive. He's alive. Doesn't this make you want to just kick up your heels? Fly off a building somewhere? You know? Yeah, to be so excited about this Christmas celebration that, hey man, I work on the third story. I had to start closing the windows. They're afraid we're going to fly right out of there. Hey, it's good news. Let me tell you, the heart of a child gets it because they see the joy, the pure, unadulterated joy, and they just express it. It's just out there. They hadn't learned all those filters. Well, that's all I got to say to you today. Quote Forrest Gump. That's all I got to say about that. So, what are you going to do about it? Hell, Dusty, I'm going to sit there and shake my head and act like I listened to everything you said today, and I'm going to go out there and continue to live like hell. Whew. I said it again twice on a Sunday. Or I'm going to allow God to change my life. What we do with this Jesus. We're going to pray and then we're going to have our ministry time. If you want to come and pray here at the altar, more importantly, if you've never received Jesus in your life, today's the day. Won't you receive Him? Someone very dear to me one time, I got down on my knees in their presence and I begged them. I said, I have nothing left, but I beg you, will you receive Jesus in your life? I beg you today, will you receive Jesus? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for your word clear and plain. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful time of worship we've had today. For the celebration that is in the air. Great joy which shall be to all people. Lord, now let us respond to you. Speak to us now. The altar's open. We'd sure like to get those cards from you today. If you have an offering to bring, baskets are here. I'm not going to make you walk up here now, you know, but we'd sure like on the way out today or come by and
We get them from you. The Lord's spoken to you today. Amen. Well, I was trying to think of somebody that could demonstrate how it looks to kick up your heels in Jesus, okay? Can anybody do that? Huh? She said, it looks kind of like this. Like that. That's kind of what it looks like. Okay? So that's what I want you to do. Just go out of here and kick up your heels. And just, it wasn't very high, was it? I need a little more practice. Okay. I send you out in the name of the Lord Jesus, under the authority of Yahweh the Father, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.